Everybody, and welcome to Tales from the Fog. I'm your host, Casey, and with me, as always, is the amazing and wonderful Veronica. How are you doing?
Aw, I'm amazing and wonderful. Yeah. How are you?
I'm good.
You're amazing and wonderful?
Yeah.
Okay, good. Cool.
And with us today, we have a special guest, Naaman from Ghost Town and Not Scary Farm, and, well, way more than Ghost Town. We go way
Oh, yeah, we do.
Actually, I was supposed to ask this before we started recording. I don't know if I've ever heard you say your last name.
Poinsett.
Okay.
Poinsett.
Just okay. Like the flower.
Okay, I didn't know if it had a flowery pronunciation or something.
Yeah.
Cool. Hey, man, thanks for joining us today.
Oh, don't mention it. I'm just so glad to be on here and I get to see you guys.
I know. We haven't seen you since last haunt, I think.
Well, I saw you for one night. We got to do this cool thing that John Cook and Ted Doherty were doing.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah, that was a lot of fun.
Oh, my gosh. That's still just such a good night. That was so much fun.
Yeah.
Yeah. So how are you doing? How are you holding up?
Not too bad. I've been working on my room.
Oh, I see.
You see paint. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's not done.
Sorry. I love that color. It's beautiful.
Yeah. Because originally my room used to be blue, and then like years ago we painted the whole thing white, and I was just like, I want to paint my room. Mm-hmm. I like this blue.
It's nice.
It's nice.
It's a good backdrop. So that looks like a gaming headset.
And a gaming chair.
Yeah.
What are your games? What do you like?
Okay, so for my computer, my games are, I just got into Final Fantasy 14, and then I'm also playing Star Wars The Old Republic.
Oh,
ooh,
yeah.
Nice, yeah.
And what is it? Among Us.
Oh, yeah. I have heard good things.
It is so much fun. I've never experienced a game where I'm just playing with people I know and my heart rate just elevates. Just like, oh my gosh, am I going to die? What's going to happen?
I heard that it's really nerve-wracking. It sounds like
it can be.
That's cool. So is the Star Wars one, that's the MMO, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's been around for a long time.
I haven't played it yet, but I want to.
It's a lot of fun. I actually got into the beta for it.
Ooh.
And then I think I've kind of been off and on for a while there. And then I was like, you know what? Just do 6 month subscriptions.
Yeah. And you save a little bit. If you do month to month, you pay a little bit more for every time you drop. So
yeah.
Yeah.
But the one thing, shameless plug for SWTOR. the one thing with the game is there's four classes on each side. And then each class has its own personal story.
Ooh, yeah, that makes sense.
For an yes. Episode. And you are the center of that story up until probably fourth expansion. No. You were literally the main character of your story as you go. Mm. The eight different classes start merging after the first expansion.
How so? How do they start merging?
You start out like we'll call it vanilla, from 1 to about 50, 55-ish. Mm-hmm. You're doing your individual class story. Mm-hmm. And then from there, you go into the first expansion, and that story is, you have an Imperial story, and then you have a Republic story. Mm-hmm. And then the stories kind of all come together, and it's just one story path from the third expansion on.
So like you start sharing quest lines and stuff in between other factions and other races and stuff?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Cool.
Did you watch the PS5 game?
I watched the one where they did the price thing. Yeah.
Any games excite you?
Not really. Not yet.
Yeah. Well, I'm surprised I didn't say anything about the about Zero Dawn.
Well, they did that on the previous one.
Yeah. I wanted to see more.
I was pretty excited about the new Hogwarts game. Like, that looked pretty cool.
Okay. Yeah, that one I'm just going, nah.
Yeah.
Nah, not a Harry Potter person.
I'm not a Harry Potter person either.
Weirdos.
And I feel like there's some weirdos on the planet.
You guys are weird.
Listen, J.K. Rowling has become a nut bar.
Wow.
That is true. So,
like, I know, like, separate the art from the artist and everything, but, like, she's kind of crazy. I know that doesn't mean anything about Harry Potter, but still.
Yeah.
But you are our in-house Star Wars expert.
Oh, okay.
Anytime that we, like, it's usually us getting something wrong, but some story or some trying to recall anything. I just want our audience to know that anytime we tell a story and we reference something and it's wrong, Naaman's the one who pulls up with the facts and with all the love. And you are a boundless source of knowledge for Star
he's
Wars.
He's our actuarial department.
Yeah.
It's too bad it happens, you know, in retrospect, where we can't just, like, have him on the fly and be like, hey.
It was like, hey, what is this?
Oh, man. Constantly.
So, yeah.
That's so, we were trying to figure this out amongst ourselves, but how long ago did you start working at Not Scary Farm?
This year would have been year number 20.
Oh my
we
God,
knew it.
It was.
We were guessing. We were trying to backtrack. We're like, I think this is going to be, this would have been his 20th year.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah. That sucks.
No. Yeah. So it was like, oh, okay. Oh, well.
That's like a terrible year for the world to decide to do this. Oh my gosh. So you started in 2001?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. So that was, no, I didn't work with you in 2000. It was 2002.
Two. Yeah. Yeah. It was 2002.
Yeah. We were in Blood Bayou together.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
That was so awesome.
Were you in Blood Bayou your first year?
Yeah.
You were in that same role?
Yeah. I was that role for all 3 years. And my third year, they were telling us that Bayou was going to go away. And so I was like, cool, I got to be the voodoo priest for the entire run. And I was like, all right, I'm going to go out to streets now. And then Bayou came back, and I was kind of like, oh well.
So for that fourth year, did you stay in Bayou as well?
No, I wound up in Swamp.
Oh, yeah.
I was in Swamp its last year. And then the following year was Silver Bullet's first year.
Yep.
And then after that, I went to Ghost Town.
You've been there ever since. So yeah. Blood Bayou has been the only maze that you've been in?
Yeah.
Wow. And that was so long ago. Oh my goodness.
Yeah, it was.
It's so memorable though, like looking through the old TPA videos and stuff. It's like when they see you, it's like that you can't miss that.
You can't miss it.
Nope.
I mean, like, I was literally just, okay. Interesting story about that. Okay. So on my very first year, I got there a little late, and they were already kind of putting people in positions. And so I'm like, I don't know where I'm going. Where do I go? Who do I meet up with? And they're like, yeah, your maze is right here. So I'm running through the maze trying to find everybody. And I think it was about two rooms before my room on dress rehearsal. They're like, all right, Naaman. I was like, yeah. I walk up. They're like, this is your room. I'm like, okay. I was like, I didn't miss my spot. Okay, cool.
I've been here the whole time.
Uh-huh.
Slick. Very nice. So what was that experience like for you as your very first time being a monster? So was this the first time you had been a monster anywhere ever?
Yeah.
So what was that first night like for you?
That first night, I had no idea what I was doing. So I was just like, okay, I'll just be creepy and act as if I'm casting a spell over this body, I guess?
I mean, it worked.
Yeah. And the interesting thing was back then, it was like right when they stopped doing any kind of monster school or anything. Really? Like you had your orientation and then they're like, okay, here's your room and we're going to send some people through and just do, you know, do your thing.
And yeah.
Okay.
So you were given no guidance as to what this character's motivation was or why they were there or anything like that.
Correct. Absolutely nothing.
That's a trick.
Yeah. So back then you had to come up with everything on your own, like your story, like all that stuff. You had to come up with in your head to figure it out.
Was that the change? I feel like there was Scare School and there was that kind of stuff.
That happened later.
So it didn't happen. Like I thought it happened before and then it took a break and then it happened again, but it like never existed until later.
I think you're right. They had it before and then I think they got rid of it. They probably got rid of it with auditions, I think, originally.
Yeah, when auditions went away, yeah.
And then they brought it back.
Yeah. That's got to be rough trying to come up with. Like, because it's not that, like, if you're a street monster, you're in a world that kind of exists and you can sort of materialize who you are. But if you're in a maze, like, it's a story.
Yeah.
You're a character somewhere in there. So, like, you have to figure that out on your own.
Yeah. Yeah. Like when on dress rehearsal, when people were coming through, I was like, I don't know what I'm doing, but I'm loving this music. And then I just rolled my eyes in the back of my head and started ticking.
Nice. So how was it like, how long until you kind of found your groove?
It was within, I want to say it was probably within that first week when I realized, oh, okay, I can hop down off the, I can hop over the body. I can wait at the corner because the room was set up to where you entered. Okay, from where I'm sitting, you entered from my right because the wall was here. You entered from my right, went around in front of me to the side behind me, and the door out was behind me.
Right.
So I literally had to learn how to play in theater terms, in the round.
I was going to say that, yeah. Yeah, it is in there. And not a lot of scenarios are like that, but in the Brooke era, a lot of her stuff ended up being in the round. It was very open and you could get everybody from different angles. But most of the time it's just not like that. It's you have your scene and to basically prevent the guests from getting lost, like you just kind of go through something from here to there. You don't necessarily have to worry about someone being behind
you. Yeah.
That, like every single person's going behind you.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So that's a fun challenge to learn in your rookie year, how to watch your back.
Yeah, but it also helped. There was me, the voodoo priestess, the medicine man, and our breaker.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And so years later, probably, I think it was the third year. Fun little story how I almost got fired. Because by the third year, I was just like, all right, I'm going to run around. And I was literally running through the entire maze.
Of course.
Like we all did.
I mean.
Yeah. Casey can vouch for that one. So they're just like, yeah, you need to stay in your room. You need to stay in your area. So bless my whole maze family. They were like, if we come through and you're not in your room, we're going to let you go. So I was like, okay. So for 7 straight days of my third year for that last week, I stayed in that room.
Wow.
Our friend Jen, she was my medicine woman. She was my priestess. And so at one point, because of the way that room was set up, you exit behind me and then you turn around to go to the next room. Mm-hmm. She stood on the other side of the wall and I'm just yelling at the top of my lungs, keep staring. You're going to look like her. Mm-hmm. Well, this really tall guy I'm yelling this to him. And then he goes around the corner and Jen, being as short as she is, just was like, and all I heard was this scream and a bang up against the wall. I turn around and the guy's on the floor.
He was so good in that role. Oh my God.
It was great.
The first time I met you, you were in that role. And the first time I met her, she was doing that too.
Okay.
And, oh my gosh, you guys were fantastic. Like that music still pops into my head every now and then. Mm-hmm. All these years later, it's still just as, I don't know, it still gives me goosebumps.
We were just listening to it. So one of the guys that I've been working with at Boneyard Effects, we've just been listening to all 90s Scary Farm soundtracks.
Oh, man.
Like all the stuff, dude. Like Inquisition, Blood Bayou, Clowns.
Oh, wow.
That's so good. You know how like middle-aged people who like played football or whatever, and they want to like feel that feeling again. So they'll like go in the backyard and throw the pigskin around or whatever.
Yeah.
But I feel like our equivalent to that is listening to music from the haunt that existed when we were babies. Like when we first came into the scene and listening to that kind of music that like when you're young and like your heart just flutters and this all is new and it's like, this is where you want to be. And like that music sticks with you so solidly through your whole life.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You can get just, it's like looking through a photo album, but it's all in your head and you're just like remembering all these things as you're listening to the music. Mm-hmm. I could see just hours going by without even realizing it. Just living in like that, like, oh, it was so much fun. But then like you snap out of it and you're like, I don't even get to go. Like it all just kind of like.
You're like, oh.
It's crazy. So yeah. So you were at In Bayou for 3 years and then you went to Swamp until it ended.
And then that was the year I went to Swamp was its last year.
Was Swamp's last year. What year was that?
04.
Okay.
Yeah.
Our 25-foot driveway of terror.
Oh, yeah.
That's what we literally called it.
I liked the Swamp, you know. It was like the first maze where they actually put effort into like putting props into the scare zone.
Yeah.
And tried to make it look like something cool.
Mm-hmm. I was actually on the build crew a few years back. Like before I even got out on the streets, I was on build crew and we were setting up some of the walls for Swamp that I think it was on its second or third year. So yeah, I remember that.
Yeah.
I remember I was working at day ops at Knott's Berry Farm and I think it was 03. It was my first year that I was going to work there. And this is how I met Question. He was built on build crew doing overnights and we were doing inventory. So we were also working overnight. And I think that was when I was like, oh my God, the haunt is coming. And then I'm walking through what is the Swamp and Question's there and he's holding up a wall and then he slams his hand against the wall and pretends to drop it. And I dropped to the floor like you do. And he starts laughing and laughing. I was like, these are my people. And, oh my God. Yeah. That was a good time.
It is good.
So then you went to Silver Bullet. Were you in Silver Bullet its whole iteration?
Or just its first year.
It's experimental. Everything was experimental. Yeah. I'm trying to make
that was like a space. Weird scare zone.
Yeah, it really was. I want to say that was one of the first scare zones we tied to what's in the area, aside from Ghost Town.
Mm-hmm. And even that was really, it was kind of derivative. I mean, the whole thing was Silver Bullet. They just, somebody in upper management wanted a roller coaster called Silver Bullet. So they called that Silver Bullet, but it's not silver.
Silver.
It doesn't look like a bullet. No, it doesn't behave like a bullet.
It makes no sense.
They just wanted it to be called Silver Bullet. And then it is. And so to further convolute it, they're like, well, we have to make sense of something. So let's make a scare zone and we'll call it the Silver Bullet Mining Town.
Yeah.
This is going great. And like, there's no real story. They did what I thought was interesting, the on and off of the main characters. It was Ted and I keep forgetting that dude's name. Tall guy, curly hair, still works at the farm. I think he might still work in Ghost Town.
Was it Mike the first? Yeah, it was Mike that first year. Okay, it was Mike and Ted. Yeah.
Yeah. My gosh, that was a long time ago. So I still think that he's like 19 because that's like the last time I remember. He was just a baby. Yeah, who else was in there? There was the Christmas.
Dan.
Oh, yeah, Dan was there.
John.
Angela.
John was there.
Mike.
Nova. No, not Nova. her name? I can't remember. Always hung out with
Wow, the files are dusty.
I don't know.
Liz.
Liz was there. Oh yeah.
Liz was there. Bubba was there.
Who was that girl that always hung out with Bubba? I can't. Liza. No. Oh my God.
That's. I said Liz. Liza. That's Liza. What I was thinking of.
I was thinking of someone else when you said Liz. Jesus Christ.
Now, actually, now that I think about it, out of that whole crew, I think myself and Mike are the only two that are still at the farm.
Oh my gosh. I
think that's probably right.
I mean, because there are people who are there while you were there. Like, I've been there as long as you, but they weren't in the same area as you.
Yeah.
So yeah, you guys are the last ones.
Wow.
That kind of makes sense, though. I mean, that was a long time ago.
Yeah.
It's kind of like the beautiful anomaly to be able to have it all kind of aligned to where you can have it still be part of your life for so long.
Mm-hmm. Makes sense. Me and Forks, Natalie, we were talking about it. Actually, last year, we were like, there's this weird gap in years. Because you have like the whole crew that we were in, and then you have the crew after us. But then the crew after that came in and then left within like a 5-year span.
Yeah, there was a time there was a big turnover.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And it happened like 2 or 3 times in the same, like, all back to back.
That's interesting.
And then you have the really new kids that are like sticking around.
Mm-hmm.
That were old enough to be their parents now.
Yeah.
That is some craziness.
Last year, I was, because you guys know I do the pre-scare buffet, right?
Yes.
So
I don't know why anyone in the audience wouldn't know that what that was, but just in case, tell us what.
So Knott's does a thing where it's now at 3 locations. You have a buffet, you have the hotel, the chicken dinner restaurant, and Spurs. And what it is full buffet. You also get get admission into the park 30 minutes before the general public. And you get a free souvenir cup, and I believe they're still doing refills all night, I think. And you get us, the talent, there with you to bother you to make sure you're eating properly.
Yes.
To make sure you're eating.
Yep, not choking and dying.
Well, the make sure you're eating, there was one girl who came in and she was like, I'm not hungry. And I look at her and I'm like, who paid for this one? By the way, I'm very loud in the buffet. I am very, very loud in the buffet.
That's why you keep getting chosen to go back after.
Yeah.
It's poetry.
And so I'm at the table and I'm just like, who paid for this one? And the dad kind of looks at me and I'm like, sir, you paid what, $40 for her to just sit here on her phone and there's good food going to waste? and it was hilarious. He thought about it and was just like, you're right, go eat.
That's amazing. What was one of the craziest things that you ever saw during pre-scare?
I would definitely have to say, because this is going off of something you actually just said, we did have someone choke. We don't know what happened, but that was probably one of the wildest things that had happened in pre-scare alone. Mm-hmm. But for on a more not somber note, but on more of a interesting note, we had a group come in. Okay, let me preface this. Pre-scare starts at about 5 and goes till 7. Mm-hmm. Now, the people who usually get in there about 6:45 are still eating by 7 o'clock, obviously. well, so we'll stay with them. And we'll just kind of stay for a little bit. And they're like, okay, we're out. There was a group of six that came in, that walked right through the doors at 7:15.
Oh my gosh. Was there even any food left?
Yeah, there was food left, but it was, what usually happens is at about 5 or 10 minutes before they get ready to close the curtains,
yeah,
they have me do, as I call it, last call. And I'll just, and at this point, everyone's usually in the main area of Spurs, because that's where me, Chopper, Echo, mm-hmm. and a few others will work. We're in Spurs, and it's just like, they'll have them in the main dining area. And at the top of my lungs, I just yell to everyone that in about 5 minutes, these green curtains behind me are going to close. So if you want seconds, thirds, fourths, sevenths, dessert, I suggest you get up and get it now.
You're so helpful.
Yes, I am. And the other thing that I consider myself very helpful for is when, because you'll get the people who come in and say, oh, what is this pre-scare buffet thing? So they'll go in and they'll eat. And then there's a lot of people are used to, okay, the park opens at 7, not realizing they're in the buffet where they get in 30 minutes early.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So I'll usually walk around to a table. And if they're just sitting there, because you get the few people who just sit there and just chit-chat. It's like, okay. I'll walk over. I'm like, you do realize it's part of the park is open for you guys right now. And there's always one person. Huh? It's like, you guys get in 30 minutes before the general populace. Oh, and I have never seen people leave a dinner table so quickly.
For real, especially if it's like a Friday night or a Saturday night. Like, yeah. You go. Mm-hmm. In line for that thing you really want to see.
You can do so much in 30 minutes at Scary Farm.
Oh, yeah.
What's really sad, though, is when they get there early and the first thing they do is go on a ride. It's like, oh, my God. No.
Let's go on Ghost Rider.
No. Why? Why spend that much money?
I actually have a comeback for them when they say that, though, when they're here for the rides.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
I'm like, where were you a few hours ago? And usually nobody, it's just like, yeah, I'm like, there was no line. Everything was a walk-on. Where have you been?
My goodness gracious. Although if they do it right, they spend the whole day at the park and then they go get food and then they come back and do haunt. Like, that's how you make it a destination.
I've done that one. Yeah. And I was so exhausted the next day. Like, literally from opening of Knots in the morning, stayed all day, went to dinner, did haunt till 2 a.m. or whatever, because it was a Saturday.
Ooh.
Man, that was a long day.
Ooh.
That's a lot. Sometimes I wonder, like, I'm glad that Knots is open as many hours as it is in a night so that everyone has the opportunity to see everything. Mm-hmm. But I mean, everyone's just done by 11 o'clock.
Oh yeah.
You're exhausted. And that it's like, to prove a point, if you stay longer and like push to try to see everything, to like try to get as much money out of it, you know, worth or whatever. But like, I mean, people just, bedtime is a thing and staying up past it can be kind of a nightmare for everybody, for the people who are staying up too late and getting cranky, and for the monsters who have to put up with it.
Yeah. There was one night where this guy is sitting over by the railroad station, the train station, and the girlfriend is just curled up and just out in his lap. Yeah, she was just done. And I just kind of walk up and then belting in a horrible, horrible voice, singing Bella Notte from Lady and the Tramp. I had to entertain myself. I was bored.
That's the story, though. It's, you can't be like on 100% of the time, and you can't be like aggressive. Like, you get in the mood and you're aggressive, but like, yeah, sometimes you just gotta just relax and be silly and
you know,
entertain yourself, because the people that you're scaring, you know, attempting to scare, are having none of it.
Yeah.
Things get really silly.
Mm-hmm.
That's awesome.
Like last year, Chopper and myself would go over to the witch's spot.
Mm-hmm.
And he'd be in the bush, I'd be in the middle of the street, and I realized why Merrick yells at the skeletons. It's fun. So I'm negotiating with the skeleton that's sitting on the roof of the general, I think it's the general store.
Mm-hmm.
And at one point, I'm just like, I am going to pluck out your eyeball. And then you have Chopper at the witch's spot. It doesn't have eyeballs. It's a skeleton.
Says the skeleton, too, which is funny.
That's pretty funny.
Well, he's not a skeleton anymore.
Oh, yeah. His prosthetic changed.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Now he's like a zombie.
Yeah.
Multi-face.
Mm-hmm.
That's cool.
Yeah.
So how have you, because from when I worked at Knott's, there was a certain amount of freedom that was afforded to the talent that no longer exists, really.
Yeah.
So how was it like negotiating the changes in how they treated the talent, what was expected of the talent and all of that?
It was one of those things, and I got this from Chopper. You can be mouthy, but if it's something that would upset your grandmother, it would upset your grandmother or your mother, or your wife, husband, whoever, if it would upset them, don't say it.
Seems pretty simple.
Yeah. But not everyone has that train of thought.
Yeah. Or maybe their mom is just really crazy.
I mean, yeah, the shit you could say to my mom, like, like, where do you think I learned it?
There's no blushing.
I had a great teacher.
Oh, man.
But yes, I think that's a good way to look at it. Like,
mm-hmm.
like lowest common denominator, you could still be funny and clever without being terribly crass or insulting or
correct. Yeah. Prime example, when you have the little kids running around, I'm trying to think of the actual phrase. It was like, oh, you should have been aborted, roughly, something like that.
Yeah.
It's no, it's not that. It's you walk off and you're some adults. Oh, and some people wonder why some animals eat their young.
That makes it okay.
Yeah,
because you're not verbally assaulting the children. Right. You're just saying some animals have a tendency to eat their young.
Yep, but it takes, you know, you got to be clever to come up with something like that.
Mm-hmm.
It's not always built in to the monster.
Yeah.
So, like, is anything like what? Like what Dusty and Jeff used to do, like the kind of antics. Does any of that type of...
Not to that degree.
Okay.
I can definitely say, I cannot confirm or deny that that a couple of girls somehow wound up in a cage. You know the fence over by the livery stable?
Fence?
Yeah. No. You have, when you're going down Fog Alley, you have the windmill to your left,
mm-hmm.
the livery stable in front of you. To the right of that, they put a fence. They put like a really small fence.
I know what you're talking about. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. There's no lock on that.
Of course.
Yeah. And when the fog is just right, let's just say the gate happened to be open at some random moment and I was just directing traffic and people wound up in there.
It happens sometimes. People get lost.
Yeah.
It's not your fault.
I was helping them. They were in the fog and I was like, go more to your right. Yeah, more to your right. There you go. Keep going.
Don't worry, the show's going to start in 10 minutes. You'll be fine.
Exactly.
Oh my goodness.
So antics do happen, but not to the level of Dusty and Star.
Yeah, that was some wild stuff. And even at times it seemed like it was a little too wild. Like it broke the fourth wall to the point where you kind of lost that illusion, even though it was a pretty thin veil to begin with, but
yeah,
you still want to play along. But one of the saddest things I ever saw was when Dusty became Scary Dusty.
Oh,
like Spooky Dusty.
Oh yeah.
And it was just like, that's it. Like the world we knew is gone. It's just not the same.
Yeah, it was. I remember that. I was just like, oh, this is very different.
It was kind of dark. Like it just seemed kind of unnecessary.
Yeah.
It was a shock, but. Yeah. Yeah, like, and I've entertained the idea of going back a few different times. Now that Xander's older, and mm-hmm. you know, there are you know people available who can hang out with them and stuff like that. I was like, oh, maybe I can go back. And then I hear people go, yeah, it's not the same thing as it was when you were there. And like, for one thing, I'm like, you calling me old? But then they're saying like, nope, like, they almost want you to preserve what you remember it as instead mm-hmm. of. Because you're going to go in expecting one thing and it's going to be
something completely different.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And like it could still be very fun. And like, granted, being older means like you care about the drama way less and like you're less involved and you're just there. You're there for different reasons.
Yeah.
I think that has a lot to do with it. But at the same time, there was just a, oh, the motorcycle's back. Mm-hmm. Where's our dog hates the motorcycle that. The guy lives behind us and he parks in front of our house.
Oh.
And Lucy just freaks out. But he seems cool right now. Except for Hula's panting. Can you hear her?
Uh-uh.
Okay.
Oh, wait. There we go.
She's like going crazy over here.
She's like, it's hot, you guys.
I know it's hot.
Oh, we didn't take them on their final yet, did we?
No.
Oh, they'll be fine. You'll be fine. What's all that?
Ooh.
Books.
So,
wow.
Audiobooks.
Very nice. Is it all the same narrator?
I guess
it'd be a voice artist, not a narrator. Hi.
You want to go downstairs? Your mama could take you downstairs real quick.
Okay. Most of them are the same narrator except for this one.
Black Spire.
Yeah. This one is by January Lavoie. The other ones are all Mark Thompson.
Oh, yeah. Nice.
Which I think Mark, I feel like Mark is like the voice of current Star Wars now.
Yeah, pretty much. So what's your favorite Star Wars of all the Star Wars is.
Movies?
Yeah. What's your favorite?
I love Episode 3.
Episode 3. So that's the
I Have the High Ground.
Yeah, Revenge of the Sith.
Yeah. Interesting. Why is that?
Just because you fully get to see the fall of Anakin, you could see an amazing battle between Anakin and Obi-Wan. The music is amazing.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
For me, I think I'm on the Rogue One train.
I feel you on that. Okay.
Because like the older ones, like 4, 5, and 6, they're before my time. I apparently saw 6 in the theater, but I would have been like 2 years old.
Same.
You know, so, but apparently I saw it. And then I was a little too old for the prequels when they came out, like, cause they're, you know, they're aimed kind of kiddish, like all Star Wars. So I think I was just a little too old for it. So like Rogue One was the first Star Wars movie where I felt like, okay, this is like aimed at me, like something that I like. And it's, you know, everything that I like in it, you know? So it was the first one that felt like it was actually directed towards what I like, and my demographic, I guess.
Okay. By any chance, have you watched Clone Wars?
I have seen some of the Clone Wars. I haven't watched the entire series.
Okay.
Enjoy Clone Wars, yeah.
That show gets a little heavy.
Yeah.
Like, oh, it's a kid's show.
No, just because it's animated doesn't mean that it's for kids.
Exactly.
And what did you think of Mandalorian?
Oh my god, I love it.
Yay.
Yes.
I love it so much.
Me too. I was really hyped when I saw the trailer. I was like, hell yeah. And then I saw the first episode and I was like, I'm not sure about it. But then by like the second or third episode, I'm like, I'm sold. I'm in.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it's Jon Favreau and Dave Filoni.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And I'm just like,
Clone Wars.
And- yeah. I'm like, they know what the fans want.
Yeah.
And so it's just kind of like, and they are fans themselves. So it's kind of one of those, like, thank you. Thank you so much.
And then there's all that drama right now with season two. So we'll see what happens.
Yeah. Didn't it? I thought season two finished filming, though.
It's supposed to air in October or November or something like that.
October 30th.
Yeah. Yeah, but apparently Pedro Pascal quit halfway through.
Oh.
Yeah. And so they rewrote the entire, like, second part that they didn't film yet to, like, around him not being on the show. Okay. I don't know if there's any truth to it, but that's, like, kind of what's come out.
Okay.
So I guess we'll find out.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's a... I mean, I want to be sympathetic because I'm sure it's more than this, but, like, when he signed the contract, he had read the script and he knew that he was a masked character. So, yeah. Like, why now pitch a hissy that your face isn't going to be on camera enough? I know it's more complicated than that, but, like, that's just the first place I went. I was like, dude, like, what did you think you were getting into? Like, you're going to be doing a lot of VO.
And yeah. That's it. Here's the thing. That's the thing. If you're walking around in a suit and you can emote through a suit without your face being seen.
Yeah.
You are an actor.
Yeah. That is amazing. Cause some people are just, to quote Norma Desmond from Sunset Boulevard, who needs words? I can say everything I need to with my eyes.
Yeah.
Which is a talent.
Mm-hmm.
Talent, but you know, you emote with everything.
Yeah.
To be able to emote even if you've got a mask on your face. And, you know, I get it. He's got a pretty face. He wants to show everybody. But it's the fucking Mandalorian. Like, you're part of something legendary. Like, yeah. Take it.
Yeah.
Unless you're not actually a Star Wars fan.
Breaking news.
No.
I know very little about it. I did watch the extra behind the scenes stuff that they were doing.
Yeah,
and
so cool.
Oh, the Disney Gallery.
Yeah.
Oh, so cool. The music. Oh my gosh, that one. Yeah. I couldn't look away. It was so beautiful the way that was done, and how that stuff comes together.
That was really neat.
Mm-hmm. I like that, and it kind of. It's interesting, the stuff that was produced and it kind of accidentally fit in with everything we're dealing with, like having the extra content and stuff that's already done and put away, but now it can be released to where we can enjoy it.
Mm-hmm.
And this is good because a lot of staples that we want to see, we're not getting to see. And like stuff like production is still halted for so many things, like smaller shoots. It's like, oh good, we get to see a new commercial. Great.
Yeah.
Because it's a one-day shoot with you know, a crew of 15 and a cast of two. But what about all the TV shows that we want to watch where you've got a cast and crew, you know, you've got a call sheet of 100 bodies. We're not going to see that for a while.
Yeah. Unless they're filming in Canada.
Yep.
Say what?
Canada's full production is open. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. That's why Supernatural is going to be finished.
Yeah. Oh my gosh. That's awesome. Like, I know filming is going on, but it's just not, you know, like, and then VO, not everyone's got the setup at home to do home recording and then, you know, being booth directed remotely. And then, you know, the interaction you have with the other people in the cast, like, it's just really hard. And and that's just on the stuff that we do in America. What about the stuff that gets sent overseas to be animated? Like,
how many of those places are available to do that side of the work. Like, it's just, it's still, there's still a dearth of entertainment, you know, at least of what I want to see. Like, you know, bullshit's out there, but I just don't want to.
Well, I've just been binging Lock and Key. Have you seen that?
No, I'm going to have to look that up.
It's surprisingly good. And my brother told me about it. And he's like, it's basically like Harry Potter meets Stranger Things. And I was like, why has this not shown up on my thing? I actually had to like search for it in Netflix because it didn't even show up in like my recommended or hot right now or whatever. I had to actually look it up.
Okay.
But it's pretty good. Decent like special effects, some cool, interesting storyline going on. So if anybody else hasn't seen it, look it up. Lock and Key.
I definitely will.
Yeah. So on the note of surviving in quarantine, when was your last day of work?
My last day of work was March 3rd.
Wow.
So right around mine too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
What, are you still at Disney?
Yeah.
Okay.
My last thing I did was Pixar Night.
Nice.
Aww, well, at least you ended on a high note.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's crazy. So were you, did they call, like, call you and say, hey, we're all closed up or what?
We got a call and an email. Like, I had a manager literally call me up and just give me the full 411 on what was going on.
So how did they present it to you?
Along the lines of just like, yeah, we're going, and they're like, yeah, everyone's getting furloughed. Let's see, everyone's getting furloughed. This is what's happening. We don't know when we're going to open up again. Right now they're saying so much time, but we'll see what happens. So a lot of us kind of went into this knowing we weren't sure what's going to happen. Mm-hmm. But I did ask, I was like, when this is over, will I still have my job? And they're like, yes.
Nice.
So they are locking everybody in.
Oh yeah, everyone's status is pretty much frozen over there.
So you're not fired, but you're also not like accruing vacation or sick time or anything like that. Everything's just completely
correct.
Mm-hmm.
That's crazy. So yeah. What was the original timeline that they gave you?
Just going off of what was given to them, I think they were looking at possibly 3 months.
Oh, really? That long?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
Been like what they told the general public, which was like 2 weeks, and then 2 weeks later it was two more weeks.
Yeah. I think, well, you know what? You know what? It's been so long. I'm going to be truthful. I'm not sure, but I want to say it was about 3 months, but I don't remember. But they did tell us, it was like, we're not sure. They're like, yeah, we're going to be, everyone's status is going to be frozen. And we'll keep you guys updated on what's going on.
Do you ever get follow-ups from them, like updates on
status? We'll get emails here and there. As of right now, we don't have any. We have no idea about anything because we're waiting on the state.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like whenever the state says, "Okay, theme parks can open," we're all gonna be like, "Okay." So how's this going to work? Because to my knowledge, they've already had a few people, like, I think the original open date was supposed to be July 17th. Mm-hmm. I think they were gearing up for that because I don't know what departments, but they did say that, yeah, some people are going to be coming back and retraining. And then when the 17th hit, it was like, nope, we're not opening.
I didn't think about that. So like your certifications and things, like how many have lapsed? Yeah,
if you're a write-op and you were supposed to train to get your recertification, you're going to be like out of compliance and you have to do the full training again.
I guess so, yeah.
So like how long do they have to be in operation before they could even open to get all that training done?
If they haven't been running the rides, every ride has to run for 48 hours straight, nonstop, before they'll be technically like state certified to have guests on them.
So then everyone who's working those rides has to be fully trained and certified and re-upped and everything to
at least
even
like
do that
2 days before. Cause like when it goes down, like when I worked indie, it would go down for refurb before we could bring it up, you know, you get graveyard shifts and all you're doing is sitting there cycling ride.
Oh my God.
Because it has to run, like the state requires it before they'll sign off for people to be able to ride it. So all those rides have to, are going to have to go through all that.
Oh, wow. That
sounds terrible.
I'm actually kind of wondering, I have a feeling they may have some people on property just running the rides every so often.
Right. Yeah, because like some of that stuff, it's just going to start deteriorating. Like on the animatronics, like they shut down at night, they don't shut off. They have like a little program that keeps them moving because hoses and stuff can blow if the pressure backs up too much. And like if you shut it off and shut it on, turn it on, it'll blow hoses and things. So who knows? Like stuff could be like somewhat operational.
Probably. I wouldn't doubt it.
Might even be like preparing, like getting a skeleton crew of ride operators who are going in and train in like re-upping or whatever, just so that they have somebody to do that. And then they're the like emergency crew that goes in and someone else in train while they're operating.
That's possible.
I'm sure they've had so much time to think about it.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, and sadly, my department is just kind of like, all right, well, we lost Halloween. Let's see if we get Christmas. But I don't, a lot of us are like, I don't think we'll get Christmas either.
I don't think so.
But there's a special magic.
Halloween is the magic.
And I'm not even on that side. I'm on the other side.
The other side.
Mm-hmm. So, and that's the thing. I'm like, come on. Put a parade, bring, a lot of people have been even asking, it's like, is Paint the Night coming back? I'm like, I have no idea.
No.
And I love that parade.
That they haven't brought, like, just done, like, a Food and Wine Festival, like how Knott's is doing it. Like, Knott's has been somewhat successful with that, so it's like, why haven't they?
And I wouldn't be too surprised if, because here's the thing, we were, one of the shifts I had before Pixar Night was helping set up with the booth.
Yeah.
For,
I mean, it was literally like
for Food and Wine.
Yeah, I was ready to go.
That's right.
And I think the booths, I wouldn't be surprised if the booths are still there.
Yeah, probably.
Oh my gosh. Oh,
which means they totally could. Even now, they still probably could.
I wonder why they don't, if it's like a liability thing. I don't know though. If Florida has been, Disney World has been open doing things, then that must not be the case.
But the thing you're forgetting is Florida doesn't have a high AP rate than as California does.
That's true. Like, what would you do with all those annual pass holders? Mm-hmm. You know, unless they did it like Knott's, where it's like you can only get in with a tasting card kind of a thing.
Yeah. But that'd be the only way I could see.
Would like go nuts.
On my, what was it? On my fifth anniversary celebration, I was the day the, I guess you call it the lottery system for Galaxy's Edge.
Yeah.
Opened.
Which we still haven't seen because we were gonna go in like June or July. I think we were planning. And boom! So we haven't been yet.
Mm-mm. We haven't even played. Originally, when I reached out to you, I was like, "Do you play Sims?" Because I wanted to know if you had seen the Star Wars little world pack thing that came out on the Sims. But I didn't want to play it. I was reluctant because I haven't even seen it. And yeah. I know a lot of people who play Sims haven't seen it, but like, it's down the street. We should be able to go see it.
Yeah.
Or just haven't, you know. And I know when we talked in October, you're like, I'm going to take you. I'm like, okay. And then I forgot, and then the world stopped. So
yeah.
Look, that's what it is.
But Galaxy's Edge is amazing. It's one of those things where, like when we had our cast preview for it, I know a few people cried when we walked in.
Wow, like I've purposely even now have been like trying not. Like, I know they have the Millennium Falcon ride. I know they have the Rise of the Resistance ride. I've seen, like, little tiny, but I'm, like, trying to still, like, don't know much about them. Like, I've purposely just stayed away from it.
I could definitely, good job, because that's not easy.
No, it's not.
It's really tempting to go in and watch, like, you know.
A ride-through or something, you know, but.
The funny thing is the ride-throughs and all the videos don't do it justice.
They never do. I mean,
they never walkthrough or ride through ever does the thing justice. Like, we were just watching some Scary Farm walkthroughs and like, this is weird. It's just nothing like it never will be.
Yeah.
So since you have October off, are you planning on seeing any of the haunts that are going to be opening? Any of the drive-through stuff? Any thing?
I've kind of thought about it. I'm debating it, but with me being asthmatic, I'm just like, I don't know. I don't trust people.
It's the thought. Have you left the house at all?
Yeah, I'll go to the store. That's about it.
Oh man,
I've gone to Downtown Disney recently, so
you did.
Yeah,
how was that?
That was actually pretty chill. Don't go on the weekend.
Yeah.
Wow. There was like a humongous line to get in. But the way they have their system running, not bad. I was expecting them in Downtown Disney to do what they did in Florida and have that metal detector thing you just pass through.
Oh yeah.
They have it like the normal metal detectors that's been there. But then there's also, it's just like, they'll tell you, if you like have your bag or anything, you're the one who opens up the bag and they're just looking in.
Yeah. So like way easier to sneak booze in there.
Yeah, depending.
Yeah. Not like it was ever really hard.
Mini bar shots.
Yeah, exactly.
Of course. But I mean, it's probably not nearly as fun to go to Disneyland loaded, or at least to go to Downtown Disney loaded, because part of the fun is like people watching and swimming on stream and, you know, just the vibe of everyone around you. And if everyone's got a mask on and everyone's separated, it's like, that's not fun.
I take it you guys haven't been out there recently?
Oh, no.
No.
No, I am immunocompromised, and he has asthma, too. So we, like...
Okay.
I think the last time we were there was when we did the Star Wars VR, like, a year ago.
It was longer than a year ago. It was, like, years.
You guys got to do that.
Yeah, we did.
It's so good.
Oh, that was... Okay, the last time I was listening to the podcast, someone brought it up. I think you guys were talking about it. And I'm sitting up here just, like, crying because it was, like... It's gone.
Yeah. Did it get, did the business close? Or?
No.
To, like, Wreck-It Ralph.
Mm-hmm.
And then I think there was something else, too. Weren't they doing, like...
They had Star Wars, Wreck-It Ralph. I want to say there was a Marvel one.
Yeah. That's what I think there was, like, a Marvel thing.
I thought the plan was to do that, though. Like, to rotate it out so that people, like, have return customers.
But is the void completely gone now?
Yeah.
Wow.
I think the building's, well, obviously the building's still there, but, I don't remember seeing any signage or anything for the void.
Wow. I mean, that's going to be a hard, that business will be a hard recovery for after this.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
Yeah. On the list of things that are going to fundamentally change. VR experiences are definitely on that list.
Which is weird because right next door to where we're building Into the Black, there's a VR experience and it's open.
Really?
Yeah. So I don't know how they're doing it or how they were allowed to open, but it's open. So, because we'll be building in there and we'll hear people screaming because I think they have a couple of different ones you can do, but I think there's a horror one.
Okay. You'll
hear people scream and stuff every once in a while. But...
Wow.
Oh, man.
Yeah.
So, like, I'm totally on board with you with not wanting to be around anybody, like, even if you're socially distanced because you never freaking know. But, like, a drive-up experience, like the one that the 13th floor one, is that something you would consider doing?
I've kind of thought about it. My big thing is I want them to perfect it and get it right first.
Yeah.
Then it's just like, okay, then I'll go.
But there's like four or five in the area, and they're all taking very different approaches to how they do it. So it's going to be interesting to see which one kind of comes out on top and what people like better.
Yeah. Because isn't one of them supposed to be like it's like so many cars that go through and then they stop, they do the scene.
Yeah.
And then, okay.
Yeah, so that's more, fairgrounds? Yeah, that one's,
okay.
I think of that more like the Universal Tram Tour, like the cars are going to come in, they'll stop.
Yeah.
Something happen, they go move on to the next one. And then you got something like LA Haunted Hayride, where it's like a cool little spooky drive-in, but then it's like a drive-in theater slash Broadway kind of show thing with a movie screen and live performers. And I don't know how they're all going to mix it together, but that'll be interesting to see.
Yeah.
And then there's the one that Angel's doing, Jesse's dad. Mm-hmm. And that's up in the desert up here. And that's like a literal like drive through thing.
Huh.
Like you don't stop, you like kind of cruise through. But I don't know how that's going to work either. Like,
right.
Yeah.
There was, I have a tendency to follow Tim the Tracker from Florida. And I know he recently did a video on a drive-through haunt that's going to be happening in Florida where you hop in your car, you drive up to a certain location, and then you put your car in park. And I think you cut off the engine, I'm not sure. But you definitely put your car in park. Mm-hmm. They do the whole sequence. And then further up, whoever's manning the traffic light turns it green. And it tells you when to proceed. So the whole thing is like red light, green light all the way through.
That's the way to do that.
There's the Stranger Thing one up in LA.
Yeah.
And that one's almost more like the thing they were doing in Japan, where you drive your car into a building, mm-hmm. shut it off, they close the door behind you, and then the whole thing happens around you, and then you leave. So, like, you literally just roll into a thing, park your car, you experience it, and then you leave.
And it's just a one-shot thing?
Yeah.
Something like that?
Yeah, it's like
oh, wow.
Thing. Which is cool, because if they do it right, if like it's a big enough building, you do, like, 6 or 7 bays.
Yeah, you can do several cars at once.
But then do you have 7 casts?
I don't know. It could be like the Back to Future ride where like you just see all the cars parked next to each other and stuff happens all together.
Like, and it's a big thing like the Soarin' Over California and you all pull in and then it like lifts up and then the next row of cars goes in and then it lifts
up. Oh, that'd be awesome.
Wow. Through,
and then it all goes in a dome and then it's like a VR experience.
You're and then it's a roller coaster.
That'd be neat.
That'd be so expensive.
It would.
You're like, we spent $4 billion and we made $20.
Oh no, that's a lot of money. People will pay hundreds of dollars to experience that. And in your own car VR experience? Shut the front door.
That'd be interesting.
If you could get one of those
I want to make one.
They have those Samsung has those new LCD screens that are like roll upable and you can just slap them on your wall. It's like if you could do that and it was the size of people's windshields and you just like slap it on their windshield.
Oh my God.
I didn't know that existed.
Yeah.
I didn't either.
That'd be pretty cool.
That's a game changer.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Holy crap.
I mean, I'm sure like each screen, because it was at, not E3. What's the, no, yeah, E3.
E3.
In Vegas. Yeah, they had them there, but. You know, new technology like that, it's like a 20-inch screen is $10,000 or something stupid until they perfect it and they scale it, you know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But that'd be pretty cool.
It's like the, do you remember the Dave Love portable haunted things where like you'd go into a trailer and it'd be like that, but like on crack. Super duper, like in The Mandalorian, how they had like the LED screen that they could change instead of doing green screen, they would just have like the actual image.
Yeah.
Imagine.
Yes.
Imagine. Oh my
God. That's probably my favorite moment in the Disney gallery because they're like, oh yeah, we had our meeting right there on the set. And they're like, where?
So I think since our contract is up, I was never technically NDA'd for that show, so I can say I've been on the volume.
Oh. Nice.
Oh, yeah. And being led by whom?
John Favreau.
Brat.
It was an interesting series of events that led to that. And that stuff I can't talk about. But I can say that he's a super nice guy. And I got to meet him. And he gave me a little tour. And it was awesome.
That's, wow.
Man, it sucks to be you, Casey.
I know, right?
Seriously.
Yeah, like, you have had a couple of interesting brushes with famous people and their dogs. Mostly their dogs.
And their dogs?
Well,
and
for some reason, anytime that a celebrity has their dog on set, I'm just like a dog whisperer or something. They just, dogs love me.
They do.
And so, you know, I inevitably end up being their animal handler while they're in meetings. And so I'm just like walking around with some random celebrity's dog. Oh, you need to go to the bathroom? I'll take you out. That's cool.
Wow.
And you guys have a conversation the whole time.
Yeah.
People looking on going, what the hell? That's how you do. But then they remember you and then they choose you for some awesome thing later because you made an impression because, you know, you took their dog out to poop or something.
Yeah.
Everything I think of that I want to ask you is just depressing and I don't. Because it's like it's hard not to just commiserate.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, let's ask because we're around our hour mark. I don't remember when we started since we had so much fun trying to get this thing off the ground.
And then after editing, Lord knows how long it's actually going to be.
What got you into Halloween? What made you say, hey, I want to work at Scary Farm and all that? Like, how did you become a scare actor?
Interesting story behind that. So we're going to turn the Wayback Machine on to when I was around four.
Four?
Oh, tiny little Naaman.
Well, here, this is what happened. So Dad had the fun idea of putting on a mask, having a giant bowl of candy, and then scaring people.
Of course.
Well, he didn't get the chance to do that because of what my cousin did.
Okay.
me and my cousin's daughter were eating dinner around like 4 or 5 o'clock in the afternoon. Her mom walks out the back door with the mask, puts it on, pops up in front of the window, and waves at us. Yeah, we were like, nope, we're done with dinner. We ran through the living room into the bathroom and shut the door.
Oh, no. Oh. So you hadn't seen the mask ahead of time?
Neither of us saw it. So that right there traumatized me for Halloween. For years. Later in high school, me and a few friends were, they're like, yeah, let's go to Not Scary Farm. I'm like, sure. Actually, no. Before that, in 95, I was supposed to go with my neighbors, and something happened where not everyone was able to get a ticket, so we didn't go. I was like, okay, oh well.
You were kind of young, too, for Scary Farm.
Yeah, I was
like
12.
Yeah.
I would have been 12 at that time.
That's more than enough.
Well, you know.
And then in high school, I had some friends who were like, yeah, let's go to Scary Farm. I'm like, okay, cool. I went and I think I was low on my asthma medication, so I wasn't feeling great. We're walking around, we walked through camp. I remember walking through Gothic Graveyard, the Underground. My friends went through C3 that year. And then I remember watching The Hanging. Now, mind you, this was probably a Friday or Saturday night. Mm-hmm. So that was all we really got to do.
Yeah.
Well, C3 was the only good one. So.
It was a mile long.
It was very long back then. But the Underground.
That was when it was under Windjammer, right?
Yeah.
So I was a stilt walker in that one.
I was sitting outside.
Did a stilt walker run outside? Because if it did, it was me. Because I constantly would chase people.
In what year, though? If you were 2000. In high school.
Yeah, that was 2000.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Wow. My goodness.
Yeah, because right after the stilt walker room, there was a little hallway, so I had to, like, bend over and, like, kind of crawl through it on my stilts. Mm-hmm. But out the other side was when you went out, and it was, like, the carnival games area, and they just had, like, a little fence, and so you went outdoors and around the carnival games and back into the maze. Mm-hmm. And so I could go out there and just step over the fence and I was on the boardwalk. And so I was like just constantly going out onto the boardwalk and then run back into Mace.
Wow.
Nobody messes with the guy on stilts, you know? Just like, you do you, buddy.
Yeah.
Even to this day.
Yeah. Yep. I broke them because I was running. I was like a full gallop down the boardwalk chasing people. And I just hear a bolt go flying out of my stilts. And I'm like, oh no, oh no.
Man down.
I'm like, it's going to happen.
Oh.
And then, yeah, I broke them.
So yeah. You were, okay, so you went in for, that was it your first time that you mm-hmm. went in high school?
Yeah.
Did you feel like, oh my gosh, this is who I am? And did you go right back or did it take a while?
We only went that one time and I'm like, okay, this is kind of cool. And then the following year, Christy, Bradvika, because she's married now, Christy had, we were working at Disney together. So, and she brought in her photo album. And me and Ezra were working together that day. And so she flips through the album. And we're like, oh my gosh, this is amazing. This is so cool. And Christy's like, well, did you guys want to work it? And we're like, yeah, sure. Why not? And they're like, okay, so they're going to be hiring on this day, this, that, and the other. She gave us the full rundown of what was going to, of the day and when to show up and everything. So we get there. Me and Ezra are hanging out. And we're like, okay, we meet Chase. And eventually we walk in, interview, and I had no idea what I was getting myself into partially.
No one does until opening night. Like,
yeah.
Yeah.
You can describe it in any way and 10 different people can describe it, but it's not going to be what you go through.
Yeah,
exactly.
What happens to you or like your state of mind, your past coming into it, like, deep.
Yeah. And it was kind of funny because I was like, I kind of want makeup. I'll ask for makeup. It can't hurt. Sure, why not? So we get in there, I sit down, and we interview, and they're like, okay, do you guys have any idea of where you guys really want to go? And I was like, do you guys have any makeup positions available? And the person hiring me just kind of like, unfortunately, and then she looked at me, she was like, wait a minute. Yes, we have a spot just for you. And that was how I became the voodoo priest of Blood Bayou.
That's awesome.
And it was perfection.
That's sort of how I ended up being a stilt walker in Clowns, because they found out that I was a snowboarder. Like, because I actually had to take one of the nights off because I was like, look, I have a snowboarding competition. It's like, I got to go do this thing. It's like a summer thing where they would like make fake snow and do like a quarter pipe kind of a thing.
Uh-huh.
So I had to take a weekend off and I told them, like, wait, so you snowboard? And I'm like, yeah. And they're like, and you can do like tricks and stuff? I'm like, yeah. And they're like, so you have really good balance? And I was like, yeah. And they're like, can you walk on stilts? I'm like, probably. I've never tried. And then they're like, go over to costuming right now, ask them for the stilts, just walk around, see if you like it.
Oh
my
God. And
that was my interview.
Times were different then.
Yeah, they were. Wow.
No stunt pay. No.
Yeah.
No special training. Just like, here, put these on.
And go.
Yeah. It was fun though. I enjoyed it. Like, it's amazing the reactions you would get when people would come up, because there was like a tiny little hallway before.
Mm-hmm.
And then like our room was like double or triple height. It was like 12 feet high. And so they come out of this little hallway and all of a sudden there's like, you know,
just like
11 foot tall person in front of you. And you're like, oh my God.
Yeah.
Are there any stilt walkers still at the farm?
If there are, they're in mazes.
That would make sense. Seems kind of dangerous. I know that Jesse is capable. Like, he has stilts and he's good on them. He's been trying to slide with them.
Universal uses them on streets, but they always give him canes, which I think is cheating.
My first time going to Universal was like 2017.
Mm-hmm.
And the person I saw on stilts didn't have a cane.
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
Yeah, usually I see them, they have like a cane or something.
Oh, okay. Hmm. Yeah, no. What was the theme that year? It was a little, Sam, the little pumpkin trick-or-treat child.
Oh, yeah.
It was one of those years. They were doing Titans of Terror.
Okay, yeah.
Yeah, that was the year.
That was when they had all the Universal mazes, like the...
It was...
Like the old monsters?
No, not that one. Mm-hmm. Titans of Terror was
Freddy, Jason.
Sin, Michael, and Leatherface.
Leatherface, yeah, that's right.
Mm-hmm.
Love the lineup.
Yeah.
Maybe it's trick to do IP, you know? I'm not used to that here.
Yeah. Not tried it.
They did a couple. Quarantine was good.
Yeah.
Days was good. The movie was special.
Which is funny because, I think my favorite IP as far as, aesthetics and the way that it looked and came out was Beowulf.
Yeah.
That was beautiful.
Oh, my gosh.
But it wasn't scary at all. Okay. But it was an amazing maze.
From what I heard, that was a studio decision.
Was it?
They wanted Scary Farm?
Yeah. From what I had heard, the studio wanted a quote-unquote living trailer.
Okay. So they didn't want it to be scary?
No, I guess not.
That's a choice.
Yeah.
It could have been so scary. Because the movie's it's not a scary movie, but it has...
It's a dark.
Yeah, it has elements. It has some good stuff in there.
Mm-hmm.
It has potential for some real creep factor.
Yeah.
But it was that. Beautiful.
That maze was amazing. And it was just the talent were not allowed to be scary.
That would suck. Imagine you finally become a scary farm monster. And you're okay, get this. You can't scare anybody. You're like, wait, what?
I feel like that's happened before. What other venue was something like that? I forget.
You're going to make me pull out Ted's book.
Oh, yeah. That'll...
Well, you had the awesome and most amazing thing Knott's ever did, which was the stepfather room.
Oh, God. See, okay. Here's the thing with the stepfather box. Do not give monsters control of something like that.
No. I went through one of the times that you guys were having fun in there. It made it way better. But
I actually felt bad for our rookies that year because the rookies had to work in the box I think it was once a week or so.
Yeah.
Something like that. And they rotated
through. Yeah, they had to rotate through. Those poor people.
Oh, I know they hated that until several of us kind of came in and were like, we're bored.
Yeah. I know what we'll do.
So, you know how you guys know, where's this maze? Where's the asylum? This, that, and the other. Where is this maze? This one was, where's Ghost Rider?
Okay.
Where were you standing when this happened?
In front of Ghost Rider.
Fantastic.
Yeah.
So, I'm like, oh yeah, follow me. So we walk past the exit of Ghost Rider along that back stretch to this line. Oh yeah, right there. There's your line. All the way over here? Yeah, it goes forward, and once you go into this area, it cuts back around. Oh, okay. I walked away at that point. They went right into the stepfather box.
Yay.
Why do people trust what monsters say?
Good question.
It's just a
bad idea. They get that all the time. I mean, you'd be walking through Ghost Town and people would ask where the log ride is as there's logs going down a hill behind you. Mm-hmm. And it's it's that way. And just totally point them in a different direction.
Certain times it's gotten to where is, and I'll just point. I don't even let them finish. I don't even let them just that way.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter.
See, one of the things I know, the guests, it's a logic thing that I know the guests aren't thinking about of where is the next maze or where is maze number this?
Yeah.
And they're asking.
Oh, yeah, because they're looking at the map.
Mm-hmm. And they're asking us this, and I'm just like, I don't know the numbers.
Yeah.
No.
And my favorite is...
Or the next maze. It's like...
Exactly. It's like, yes, next maze.
Numbered, but that's a reference point. That's not like, you have to go through this one first.
Right. And yeah. when they ask, where's the next maze? There was one year I was just like, I don't know. What have you been through? And then they were just, they couldn't even answer me. So I was just like, okay.
Like, well, what did the last one look like?
Yeah.
Monsters. It was kind of dark.
There was music playing. There was fog.
Fog.
My cousin got scared. I don't know.
Oh, my gosh.
Oh.
Or the scary zones. Like, I don't know. There were sliders. Like, oh, good. Okay.
Oh, okay.
You know, very few places really have sliders. So, you know.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. It's either Ghost Town or Forsaken Lake or Camp. Mm-hmm. Or Boardwalk.
Or Boardwalk. Or, yeah, yeah. You know, any of the scare zones that exist.
Yeah. Yeah. Interesting thing for last year, though. Mm-hmm. I created a pathway because of where certain scare zones ended. Mm-hmm. I created a walkway from the front entrance all the way to western entrance without getting scared.
Oh. Because of where the boundaries are.
Yeah. If you
you could do that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's interesting.
I was just like, that just made me super sad.
that seems like that shouldn't be.
See, I need to bring the backwoods back.
It's one of those things that shouldn't be a thing to happen, but yeah, you would walk through the Cobra Roll of mm-hmm. Silver Bullet, stay to the left of the stagecoach. Until you got to the train, and when you get to the train, cut across the hanging area.
Mm-hmm.
Well, across the tracks, cut through the hanging, stay to the left, and you're at Western, and you haven't been scared by a single monster.
Oh my gosh, because of the boundaries.
Mm-hmm.
That's a school of thought thing, because I know like some people think that you should have a place to go to like take a break, like get a breather. But, like, most of that is not terribly high traffic. Like, the Cobra, going under the Cobra Roll, there's nothing there, and there's nothing drawing people to that spot. So, like, it's not high traffic anyway.
Yeah.
And then, I mean, once you go up to, like, where the hanging used to be, where in my memory, that's where it still is, like, that court, that area,
yeah,
it's pretty happening, and it's pretty busy.
Yeah.
Up until then. But, like, that section over there is, like, it's just quiet and dark and there's nothing, and you can't even like put anything there because day ops, that's like the walkway to get in and out for the stunt show.
Yeah.
So like you can't build anything there. That's like the employee
entrance. Stuntmen, they can climb the walls.
That's true. They're capable, they can do it.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think this past year Forsaken Lake got extended to the inner, I'll call it the inner circle of the stagecoach. If you're at the Cobra Roll.
Yeah.
If you're on, so all of that area of old Silver Bullet minus the swamp driveway.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All of that was Forsaken Lake.
Yes. I remember that, seeing monsters up further because we brought Xander for the first time.
Okay.
We were at dinner and not prepared to spend the night outside, but he's like, yeah, I'd go to Scary Farm. We're like, what? He's like, yeah. I'm like, would you go tonight? He's like, yeah. We're like, oh my god. And so we ran home, grabbed jackets, and we flew down there. But because of who, like, he was with two people who happened to have DB shirts on, but also who his dad is, he, like, monsters know who he is.
Yeah.
He's walking through and monsters are like addressing him. And it's like, oh my god, how do people know who my child is? But there was one that he just adored, and it was one of the Forsaken Lake monsters, and it was in that area.
Yeah.
The area okay. they weren't allowed to be before. And they're a little like out of place, but it's still nice to see, you know, monsters walking around.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, it was the tall guy with like the long gray hair. He kind of looked like he was a statue. I don't know, but like he knew exactly who Xander was. and like addressed him. And I don't remember exactly what the interaction was, but I remember Xander's reaction and he was just like, oh my gosh. Like he thought it was so cool.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Good stuff. But I'm glad that they expanded that area. It's not a lot.
I feel like Forsaken Lake could use some more people too.
Yeah.
Did you see the like any of the processions or like the opening number?
I was just gonna say I wanted to see the procession.
It's cool.
It is. It's a pretty cool little gag.
Yeah.
Okay.
My only complaint is that since they use everybody that's in the thing, like when the procession goes on, there's nobody else
around.
So it's like
It feels sort of like an. Is it in the program that it happens?
No,
it just happens.
It just
they have it timed, but like the guess, it's supposed to feel random.
Yeah,
because it seemed like we did know about it because somebody told us.
Yeah, because we had just missed it. Like they were literally walking away when we got there, and I can't remember who it was, but one of the people we know that works it was like, come back at this time, and we're like, okay.
Okay. It's sort of like camp when they do their vignettes with the witches.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, and those are timed also, but they don't announce when they happen, but like people will just like start to
gathering.
And like somebody knew something and then other people just saw people gathering and so they just gravitated.
And sometimes like there's a few of them like with the witch hunters, they'll start gathering people around.
Yeah.
Okay.
And, like start talking to them and like kind of getting a little hype going before like the little show starts.
Nice.
Yeah.
Okay.
I like that idea. Did anything like that ever happen in Ghost Town?
The closest thing we've got was our rope drop this past year, and how it connected to Origins and everything. The execution of it, I feel like something happened.
I feel
like something happened and they had to rework it.
My problem with like the stuff that Knott's does, like it's fun, like the witches and stuff, but the second year, because of like the way that the show ended every night with like the man burning and the witches kind of taking power, like the second year of that scares them, they should have completely flipped it and had it all witches and like they were in power and like the witch hunters were trying to take power back, and they should have just completely changed the script.
Keep the story going.
Yeah, like keep progressing the story every year until it comes to like some big epic battle at some point. But
nice. Kind of like The Hanging.
Yeah.
Dang. It's a good idea.
I know. They should do it.
I like it.
They should hire you.
They can't afford me.
But it's funny that Ghost Town's rope drop was what it was, because a few years back, I was always saying, we should do like the witch hanging at the start of the night.
Yeah.
It makes sense.
Uh-huh. And then when I got to, because I'm always in pre-scare when rope drop happens, I got to see video footage of it. And I'm like, that's similar to the idea I had, but it takes place after the hanging.
Yeah. But they should do it every night, like, and have her curse the town. And like, that makes so much sense.
Mm. Yeah.
It's the tone. People kind of get it.
Yeah. I really liked how that worked. I don't know what year it was, but apparently there was every zone had a rope drop one year.
Yes.
Had their own.
But that's happened before. So like the Gauntlet used to do their own little show with the King and Queen. And then Ghost Town had their own thing. It was like all separate.
Oh man, I just remember simpler times. There was no show, there was no nothing. Like I think right after I left is when they started doing, was it the Overlord?
Yes.
Oh yeah, the Landlord.
The Landlord, yeah. I was like, okay. Like, It felt odd to me because you're taking the authority away from the monsters who are supposed to be the aggressors, the alphas in the situation between the monster and the guest. And I thought
it was weird. Yeah. And I felt bad for the guys who were the overlord because they had no idea. Because in our meeting, mm-hmm. they literally were like, Oh, when you see the overlord pass by, make sure you stop what you're doing and bow. Hmm. Yeah, that didn't go over well with the performers or us. Yeah. We're just like, what if we're in mid-scare? You want us to just stop and bow? Hmm. And then one of the guys was like, please do not bow to me. He was just like outright. He's like, I do not want people bowing to me. I took the spot because I wanted to be scary.
Did anybody like at the pre-show, because you know like when they did the overlord pre-show, you guys would all like bow or whatever, a whole little thing that happened, I don't remember what, but did anybody yeah. like rebel and do like the I am Spartacus thing and just stand there?
not that I know of.
Talent manager standing right behind them.
Yeah,
I would have still done it. I'd be like, I'm not.
You would have magically not been present.
Yeah, I would have found a way. I have to go to the bathroom real quick and then come back after.
Or, sorry, my makeup time is 7:20. I can't be there.
Yeah, I think I did like 1 or 2 years of the overlord, and then I got pulled in pre-scare.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Oh.
Pre-scare, though.
Wait, you guys haven't been to pre-scare?
No, I went to, actually, my very first time ever being at pre-scare as a guest was mm-hmm. when I was 9 months pregnant.
That was okay.
My first year not working was the first time I was able to attend a pre-scare. So I took nights off, but it was usually to go play hooky to go to some other event.
Right.
So I wouldn't ever go to my own, you know, my own thing, because then I'd get in trouble.
I haven't done pre-scare since I would go with my family.
Okay.
So it's been a while, but.
Yeah. You guys should go.
We'll go this year. Oh, wait.
Oh, wait.
Oh.
We did a pre-scare dinner tonight. We had ravioli. No, we had tortellini. And we played video games. It was cute.
I had ramen.
Yeah. Ooh, oh, we found the best vegan ramen. It's so good.
Mm.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. It's good.
Okay.
All right, so we should probably wrap this up.
I just love talking
to you. Do you have any, I don't know if you want people to follow you on socials, but you have your monster social, right?
Yeah, I have my Instagram.
So what's the?
You can find me at GTS, all lowercase, _VYRUS.
And it's all dedicated to the coronavirus, or what is it?
That's my character.
I know that.
He is the virus.
He is the virus.
So I wanted to ask you about that. When did that thing start, like making a side profile for the characters?
Maybe all the way back to Ultimate Haunt.
Yeah, I think so, roughly.
Chatrooms and stuff, but the Instagrams, like the personae had been one between
one. I know what you mean. And then people started branching it out. Yeah. I wanna say that probably started when you had certain fans who got a little too, ooh, I'm next to this person, and mm-hmm. then it got to that phase where like, this is awkward, this is uncomfortable.
Yeah.
Like about the same time when like fan merch started happening for like individual monsters, like the
person. No, before that.
Was it before that?
It was before that, because I think the personal type merch didn't start happening until recently.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm thinking it happened a little before that.
I think it's interesting. It's a fun, it's funny because it's like free advertising for Scary Farm, but mm-hmm. it's also like a fun, you know, it's a fun little ego boost because like we're so affectionate towards that persona. So like having it separate is almost like you can sort of disassociate from it.
Well, and if you can get like people to tag you, like fans and stuff, it's a cool way to get photos of you.
And not give away pictures, like, you know. mixing right. that in with pictures of your kids or your dog or whatever.
Exactly. Yeah. I think that's how it all kind of started, and it really didn't boom until past few years.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Well, people mm-hmm. started getting really good at it, like really utilizing the platform, you know, as its own personality, you know, those different accounts as their own personalities. Mm-hmm. Oh yeah. I just thought that was an interesting phenomenon that happened a while back.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Follow us on Instagram at Tales from the Fog, Facebook at Tales from the Fog, YouTube. Now we're putting up all of our old podcasts. We're on like episode, I don't know, 6 or 7 now. They're all going up on the YouTubes, and we have some other special content going to be coming out. Mm-hmm. So yeah, that's pretty cool. And you can follow Veronica.
I'm not on Facebook anymore, but I'm on Instagram at Veronica Voices, or my my work account is at Stunt Soundy, STUNTSOUNDIE.
And until next time, guys, we'll see you in the fog.
Bye, guys.
Later. Woo!